with signs and wonders. You've shown your power with precious blood. You've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is our faithfulness.
When we walk through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done.
And we will shout, our God is good, and He is a faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one whose glory has been shown. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is our faithfulness.
I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you'd love me, would never leave me, and I've never been the same.
We will.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Otis Nixon Sunday at Calvary Baptist Church. Where is Brother Otis? he's running a little behind. He'll be here about 11:30 or maybe a little bit before. But I want to say thank you so very much for coming our way today. All of our visitors that are here, and I know some have come from your own church home. And so thank you so very much for coming. We are looking forward to Brother Otis coming in just a few moments and giving his testimony. And we have some here that actually know him, and our dear brother down front here knows Brother Otis, and he has his own ministry, men's ministry. And so thank you for coming. This is actually his bass he has that we're using for a prop this morning. This was Otis Nixon's 620th stolen bass autographed, and so he brought it with him. I thought, well, you know, if you let us use that, that would be amazing. And so that's why that's there. And but we're here to worship this morning the Lord. And that's the primary reason that we're here, is for Jesus. But if the Lord can use people like Otis Nixon, those that have come from big backgrounds, platforms of sports and things like that, I think it can really reach a lot of people. And so that's why we had him come, is because of that. And so I do want to do what we normally do each and every Sunday. While he's on his way here, we're going to run through a couple of announcements and upcoming events here at the church. And again, we just want to thank those who have visited and came our way today. You are our honored guest. I do want to say that we had our outreach ministry yesterday. We reached out to the people over Enclave and that community, got to know them a little bit. And I believe we knocked on about 75 doors over there. And so it's very promising that we'll get some of those people to come by and visit with us. Very nice people. Thanks to those who came to the outreach yesterday. You can see the picture on the screen. And we had a good time with it, had a good time. And I do want to say there'll be an opportunity each and every month to join in on that, sharing your faith, reaching out to the community. And we are commanded to do that. If you are a Christian, to share your faith and to go out to the highways and hedges and preach the gospel. And the Lord will bless that, I guarantee you. And so had a wonderful time doing that yesterday. I do ask for prayer for Brother Ceylon. He is still sick at home, trying to recoup from the flu that he had, and still has, I guess, the remnants of it he's dealing with. But please remember him in prayer. Of course, we have all other prayer requests on our prayer request portion of our bulletin. Please pick up a bulletin. This is our bulletin that has Otis Nixon on it. So, hey, throw it in your memorabilia collection for sports and stuff. So pick up a bulletin, and you can keep up to date on all of our sick people, all the prayer requests that we have there. I do want to remind our people and visitors, if you would like, we are having service tonight at 5 o'clock, and we'll be bringing a message then. So come back and be with us if you do not have a home church, or maybe you do have a home church and your home church doesn't have Sunday night service. Come back and be with us here. We'd love to have you on that. Also, work begins next week with our technology upgrade. We have two 70-inch flat-screen TVs getting ready to be put upon our choir walls here. And, of course, we've had painting done there, painting done in the foyer. We're just really trying to use both sides of the coin, reaching out to the community and upgrading the church. And we really want to do something for the Lord in 2024. And so be looking for that. Some new things coming along starting next week. And then Jubilee, a.k.a. Revival, March the 3rd through Thursday, March the 7th. And so we have a great lineup taking place on Jubilee week. And so please make plans to be with us during that week as well. It's going to be a fantastic week. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're here to worship the Lord, but also to hear from Otis Nixon. And so we are so thrilled about him coming. And we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And then I'll toss it to Brother Allen. Got a couple other things to take care of. And then we'll move forward with the service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning, Lord. And we're just so very thankful for your goodness, God. So refreshing, God, to see new faces at Calvary. Lord, this is our heart's desire, it's what our soul longs for, Father, to fill your house. And Father, I pray this morning that you would use Brother Otis as he comes and he speaks here in just a little while. God, I pray you'll use his testimony, his salvation experience to reach the hearts of the people today. There may be someone here this morning who doesn't know you personally as their Lord and Savior. And while there may be someone coming just to hear from their favorite player, Otis Nixon, dear Lord, I pray if they're not saved that Otis would say something, God, that you would use something to speak to their heart so that they could get their salvation nailed down and for sure. We just love you and we're so very thankful for all your blessings, what you're doing here at Calvary. We're so very thankful for what you're doing in other churches in the area and worldwide even. Help us, Lord, be diligent, be about your business. Help us go the second mile. Help us reach across the aisle. Help us share Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be ready always to give an answer to every man for the hope that lies within us. We just love you today and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you will, take a hymnal, church, and stand. Turn over to page 393. Choir, stand with me. And let's all join together when we sing, When We All Get to Heaven. All right, everyone sing together now.
Sing the wondrous love.
Prepare us a place when we all get.
soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. That's great singing, church. You can be seated, choir. You can be seated as well. Again, it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We thank you so much. If you're visiting with us, if you're visiting with us for the first time, we surely thank you for coming to Calvary, and we do invite you to come back and be with us every time that you can. We have service also on Sunday evenings at 5. We have a Bible study on Wednesday at 7, and we're just excited about what the Lord's doing. Amen?
Amen.
That's a little weak. Try it one more time. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's good, and he's worthy to be praised. Amen? So again, it is great, great to see you in the Lord's house this morning. And we're just going to try and move forward, and we're hoping for some great timing and that he'll be able to make it in here pretty quick. But it is so good to have you this morning, and we look forward to what Brother Otis has to say to us this morning. Well, I followed baseball most of my life, and I'll never forget some things that I have seen. But some of the greatest, greatest testimony is when somebody gets a hold of someone's heart and they're willing to take that and to share that with other people. That's what we're excited about this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service and ask God's blessing on the offering as well. Father, we love you. And Lord, how we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Lord, most of all for our salvation that is full and it's free. Lord, it cost us truly nothing, but it cost you everything. Lord, we thank you that we can say this morning that we have been saved, that we have been, our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, we thank you this morning for an opportunity we have to come into this place and worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Lord, if there's someone here today that's never accepted you as their Savior, may this be the day that they'd realize that and come to know you as the Lord of their life. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, fill this place with your Holy Spirit today. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. You believe that? Something about the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yes,
the greatest, greatest experience that I have ever had in my life was when I accepted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. Bar none. I'll never forget the night that I accepted the Lord. And this morning, we want to sing a song that we have sung many times. I hope that you can say with me this morning, "Oh, what a happy day when my sins were washed away." Hey, when we get there, if you want to join with us, you're welcome to. But we're going to sing, "Oh, happy day." Oh, happy day. Jesus.
Well, what a happy day it was when we trusted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Uh-oh. We got a lot going on this morning, but just want to praise the Lord for being such a good, good Father, for being the Savior, of the world. And again, it's so very good to have Atlanta Braves' Otis Nixon with us this morning. And Brother Otis, I know you're shaking hands and greeting people as they come in, but I tell you, we've been very excited about you coming, brother. And we are huge Braves fans in this church. I talk about it just about every sermon. There's an illustration from the Braves and baseball or something like that. And so we're just so thrilled. Thank you for accepting the invitation. And while the guys are working there, what we want to do in just a moment, when they get that set up, we are going to play a special clip from one of Brother Otis's games. Can anybody guess what that clip might be that we're going to? Oh man, y'all guessed it too quick. But anyway, yeah, we're going to do that here in just a moment. I said last Sunday that what better time to have a Braves player come than right when spring training is getting ready to start. And in fact, the first spring training game is on the 24th. And so baseball fans are excited about that. And so if, yeah, come on, Trail, get behind there and hold that thing. We want to get going. Come on. Yeah, I get it. I got it. Yeah. Trail's on our security team, so this is part of the duty right here. It covers a wide range of areas. All right. Well, if I could get everybody's attention for just about 30, 35 seconds or so, brothers, we're going to play a clip right quick. Guys, if you hit the lights and press the button.
There's a drive. Deep right center field. Nixon goes as far as he can go.
Now, Brother Otis, you're the only one that's ever done that besides me now. You come on, bro. Take your time.
Thank you. How's everybody doing today? Good morning. Oh, man. Oh, man. Let's stand up and give God a mighty hand of praise today. Oh, come on. You clapped better for me when I was on the baseball field. I know if he's done something for you today, let's give him a little bit better clap. A little bit better clap. Man above. Thank you. You can be seated. They always clap for me louder than they clap when I say, give the Lord a mighty hand of praise, and they clap for me louder than they clap for him. I ain't getting in trouble, so I'll make you clap a little bit longer for him. Guys, it's a pleasure to be here today. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm hungry. I'm ready to go eat. But I got some business I got to do. I got to tell you about my message. My message. It's called a testimony. I've been doing this for a while across the country, and some years ago, making millions, playing with the Braves, World Series, and sometimes that's good, but when you get in trouble, and then the money ain't no good, the baseballs ain't no good, and then you got to call on his name. I'm going to tell you about why I had to call on his name and how he got me through it, and you'll catch it as I made the catch. You'll catch what he's done for me. And maybe he's done some things for you in your life. If he hadn't, he's on standby. He's waiting on you. So let me tell you a little bit about Otis Nixon. Grew up in North Carolina, by way of North Carolina. From the University of North Carolina. Michael Jordan went there, Lawrence Taylor. We got some great ones that came out of there. I was a baseball player. And got signed by the Yankees. I'm a farmer. I'm a country boy. I can hunt. I can do all this stuff, and but I could actually run. Everywhere I went, I was always faster. Ran down the tobacco fields. I ran in the cornfields. But my mother was faster than all of us. Believe it or not, my mom was faster than anybody around the town. That's where we got our speed from. I got a brother. Oh, Joe, stand up for me. I got a personal friend here. This is, I got Joe. Say, everybody give him a round of applause. Joe Kennedy. Joe and I go way back. And if he had come up here, Joe was blind. He couldn't see a while ago. Right, Joe? And if he had to tell you, he called me and said, Otis, I'm blind. They driving around. I said, you blind? You used to drive us around? And by a miraculous time, in 3 or 4 months, Joe called me back. Joe was driving today. And I don't know if God touched and healed him like Bonnie Bonner's, but he can see, and he's healed again. Thank you for what God's done for you, Joe. Thank you for being here today. Yeah. So going through North Carolina and going through the country fields, and as I grew up as a kid, I always believed in God, even though I didn't know how to believe and how to be my God. I had a drug problem before I really had a drug problem. I did have a real drug problem, but my grandma used to drag me to church. And drag me into church, so I had that problem of dragging me in. But I always caught something. Watch this. I was in there by myself. I got a book, and I didn't bring them today. It tells all my stories in a different way. And I don't go by chapters. I go by... You two ladies here are big Braves fans. You stood up. I'm looking at you again because they came up and shook my hand and told me how big of Braves fans. And I see so many uniforms out here that it's just feeling like I'm up at Truist Ballpark. I see so many. I'm sitting out here. You told me, Pastor, that there was a lot of Braves fans up here. But thank you for actually inviting me. Jim Daly, where you at, Jim? Jim and I go way back. Yeah, I've been doing this and card shows. Come preach, tell my testimony, and go do talk shows. I started with Jim. Jim and I have been doing car shows forever, and he finally saw a little Jesus in me. He said, Otis, would you come to my church? And I've been waiting on this opportunity, Jim, but thank you for inviting me to as well. Guys, as I go down this chronicle order of my story that I tell across the country, this is not on the church. I was on the phone. I did a phone interview before I go to Houston with this guy named Joel Osteen. Anybody ever heard of Joel Osteen?
Yeah.
So I'm on the show, and I'm telling him a little bit about me, Pastor, and he said, Otis, I've seen you play. And my daddy, I said, your daddy probably, your granddad, I played so long until they all probably, but they came up watching us play against the Houston. I said, was you pulling for me? He said, no. Was you praying for me? He said, no. We wore Houston out back in the day, guys, and so what happened here, my book is done. Not in chapters, chapter one, chapter two. I did mine in innings, first inning, second inning, third inning, and then God brought me on home. One day I get these books, so I make it an opportunity for you to get them. You can pre-buy them. I go out them quick. Spring training come, my phone starts to ring. As soon as the guys go to spring training, I get more invitations to come to churches. So God is just steady opening up doors for me to go around to bless people. I work with law enforcement now. I work with this little small guy named Shaq up there in Henry County, and we help kids. So, Pastor, I about to come down here and do a camp or get back with these kids. I see a lot of them sitting in here, and I'd like to see you guys after the church. And so going back in here so we can just keep it in order. Just growing up, I remember sitting over on the side of my bed as a little kid, and I had a pair of tennis shoes over there. I said, and it's in my book. I said, Lord, I know you're real. I'm a little kid. I'm broken in the Ten Commandments, so I didn't have any money, but we never knew we was poor, but I just knew we had everything we had. And I'm talking to God by myself in the room, 9-year-old kid, 8 years old. I said, I know if you're real, make these shoes move. I stood there for a while, but them shoes didn't move. So I challenged them again. You remember Satan said, hey, if you would go up here and jump off the pedestal, or if you would, I'd give you all the splendors of the world. I didn't know it, but I was trying him like that, but in a different way, so they didn't move. I said, God, I'm a 9-year-old kid. Just come to the door and walk in and then walk back out and let me know you're real. I just wanted to see him. I knew he was real. He didn't come through the door. I said, man, he didn't come through the door. He didn't make shoes. But let me tell you something why he didn't do it. You can't see the face of God and live. You know that? So it's too precious. It's too strong. It's too powerful. I didn't know then. So he was protecting me. Then he said, you don't want to die or you want to see me. So that's what happened. So I learned that he didn't do that because he wanted me to have faith in him, to trust him, that I am real. I am the living spirit of the living God. So that's what I learned as I growing up. But they never moved. But I know there's a real God today that I didn't know nine years old. That's part of my book of my stages of kids. Not knowing, but trusting the pastor that can teach me why he couldn't do that. That's what my pastor did. So, guys, I'm going to move over to another area. And all this is in my book as I do my story. So I do a preaching on it, and I put some stuff out here. I got 10 things I'll leave you to at the end of the day. I'll leave you with 10 nuggets. You can put them in your pocket. Come around with your young men, women. I see you. Sit with your, that's your girlfriend? Yes. I marry, and I can bury people. So you can give me a call, and I'll marry y'all at the proper time. The pastor's on good, okay? I love it. Yeah, I've got one. A wedding coming up, and people get there. All everybody gets in uniform. The whole, everybody's in Braves uniform. But their name on the back of it, and I marry them. So that's what we got going on. Yeah, but you got a pastor with a Braves shirt on, so I think he can handle that. You take care of him, pastor. So, guys, let me tell you, as I grew up and I went to the University of North Carolina, I didn't drink. I was a leader. I was a man on the team. That always, I'm a leader by nature, leadoff hitter, and I always encouraged the team to follow me. We always had that thing in that sport club to win. And I've been winning for a long time. Even at 8 years old, I was in the World Series. Let me tell you something about the universe. And I'm not going to hold this accountable, but this is my belief. The universe put glasses on certain individuals. I didn't know I was chosen. I called. But when the universe put glasses on you, you can never take them off. So I can't take these glasses off until I get to the kingdom of heaven. What happens with these glasses? Joe, when you had to see and you couldn't see, I had glasses that I can see things that you guys can't see. Michael Jordan, Wade Gretzky, Magic Johnson. We've been put glasses on that you guys can't see what we see in the world. Things are magnetized. So I didn't know this, and the guy said you can never pull them off once the universe pick you as a pastor. And you've been chosen because you got the glasses on too, and you might not know it. But God will give you glasses to see 10 times or 20 times more than the things in the world. Now I don't understand it, but your visual becomes so clear. And the more you lean on him and understand him, I can never pull him off. I just know I was chosen. So as I go on with that, and hold on to that piece for a minute, and as I go on to tell you a little bit more about me, I never drank. Joe, I never drank, so guess what I ended up with, Joe? A drinking problem. I never did drugs. Guess what I ended up with? Drug problem. How did that work out? I know some of them that was doing it, and why did I have to come back to be the one that was marked? And how I got marked, not the first team, but the team that I got the biggest accolades with when we brought the World Series, the first World Series, I was the leadoff hitter. He had stole 6 bases. Joe, where's the base? It's behind it. Joe bought this base from me. Donated. Can you get it, Joe? Just hold up for a minute. So he was at an event, gym, and he bought the base. Joe, can you just hold it up and this thing don't fall? Just hold it up. Will it fall if I move it? Go ahead. All right. Can anybody see what's on here? Pastor, can you see that? What does it say? 620. That's how many bases I stole over my career. That's a lot of stolen bases. And a lot of it was done here in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay? So 1991, I took this base, and the reason this is the base I picked out the ground when I broke the record for 72 stolen bases. I stopped the game, picked it up, and held it up over my head, and the crowd went wild because I had just set a modern-day record. I remember 35 years ago, And you guys don't know how it feels to stand up in the stadium and hold this thing around and say, I'm the man. I did it for Atlanta, and that's what I did. But guess what? We went on to our first World Series. So I'm not sitting here making, but I never thought I would be playing in a World Series. You got a World Series hat on, don't you? And guess what it says, 1991. Guess who was the leadoff hitter? It was me. That year, you watched it. You old enough to be able to watch it. I'm sure you did, yes. I'm a little bit older. And what happened, guys, that year, before the World Series, anybody know how many bases I stole in one game? What'd you say?
Six.
Six in one game. They can't, a whole team can't steal that many in a week out here right now. They try. Yeah. So that was another reason I put the glasses on, and I can't take them off. Papa, I never thought I would steal six bases in one game. And if I could have got one more at bat, I'd stole eight. Yeah, I believe that, and that's why I said I put the glasses on, and I can't take them off. When I made this catch, I never thought I would be the one that made the one of the greatest catches, you guys say, that I made, but that was done to take us on to the World Series. We won 13 games in a row. I made the catch, and that was the 13th game, so that was the longest streak that we actually had that year. So I'm going to get into some messages. I'm telling you this because God's telling me, okay, I'll just water it down and get ready to talk to the people and tell them about what I did for you. I get there. So that, they say, is the greatest catch. Y'all know Michael Harris, the son of Phil, now? Good kid. He can play. He made a catch in the playoffs, I think. And now, Pastor, they said I'm number two. I can't stop it. So records are made to be break. He got the glasses on, too. And he don't know it. Andrew Jones put them on. So all we go along there, I'm still going to say I made the better catch. I don't care what they say, but they tell me when they go out. So then, don't forget, that base, I stole 72 bases in 1 year. I went to a game, and Acuna stole 73 bases this year. They said, now Otis, you number two, he stole the bases. But records, if I watched the game, I was sitting in right field watching him. I say, man, go first pitch and get this thing over with. He went first pitch and beat my record, held it up, pointed at me. Records are made to be brave. If I could have handed the torch over to anybody, Acuna is the one I went. He can play. Roy can play. Michael Harrison. So I'm passing the torch over to some great kids. We got a lot of history here. Guys, don't remember, I didn't drink when I came up. I think I had my first drink right after I got to college. I was that guy, and I had a vision that I was going to get to play Major League Baseball. They could have paid me a dollar or a million, and I made millions. I blew a lot of millions on unwise things, and that happens in life. So when I'm going back here, so why would I be the one to get a gene that if I put it in my system, it would make me an addict, cocaine addict. You can call it what you want. It's still a misconception, and it's going to the communities now. The meth is taking over the white community. You come in the white community, and you're trying to sell some crack cocaine, they're going to run you out of here. You white, the dope dealers come here. Pastor, you can believe it or not, I call it what it is. Parents, kids, listen to me. Run as fast as you can when somebody approach you. Your boyfriend come to you and say, hey, baby, I got something we want to try tonight. You slap him as hard as you can, okay? Devil, you get behind me. You have to take your horns by the horns, okay? And remember that because I had a challenge of not doing it, I'm doing it. So when you get around a crowd of pre-pressure and you're making millions and you're a star, you got more friends you can shake a stick at. I thought everybody was my friend. But they wanted money, they wanted this, they wanted tickets. I had them all around, but when I fell, I looked around. Man, and there wasn't nobody standing there, but my mama would still say, son, you can still come home. I don't know what happened, and I didn't raise you that way. I don't know what you did, but I'm not going to beat on you. I'm going to help you get up. And you go back to the Jesus that you knew when you was in that room. That's the man that's going to help you. All them friends are gone. I had to go to rehab. 1991. And let me tell you a secret. I didn't play in the World Series. They said, you can't play, Mr. Nixon. I worked this hard to come in 1991, my first World Series, your first series, and the devil grabbed it away from me. I'm going to blame it on him. I had to go to rehab and watch the games. And the guy that was playing in my position made an error and cost the game. So people was really mad at me, but I had to get right. The Braves took me personally and drove me to rehab. And I stayed there for about 6 months, got myself together. Man, I was ready to go. And I came out and signed the biggest contract of my life right here in Atlanta Braves. I signed a 4-year deal. After that, they trusted that I got well enough, healthy enough to go back and play, and signed me for 4 years. Guess what the newspaper had once I signed that deal and came out, I'm ready to go? They signed me for 4 years, quite a lot of money. They want me to be the center fielder. I'm the highest paid player on the baseball team. I'm making more than Glavin, Maddox, and all these guys. I would say, wow. That only lasted 1 year. They passed me real quick the following year. But watch this. I got something just to clean myself up and get back. And I still got the gifts. Don't forget, I still got those glasses. And that's what they was looking at. He's got those glasses. He's got the talent. So what happened? I signed the contract. Guess what the newspaper said the next day? Otis Nixon signed the biggest contract he's ever signed in his life. Is that what you signed? Is that what you give an addict? A contract, and they did. And I put that in there, and I looked at it, and I said, wow, I got to deal with this. If I don't play well, guess what? They're going to boo me from here to Augusta and everywhere I go, my brother. So when I came out on the field, and the first person that was there, if y'all don't know Ted Turner, he shook my hand. He said, welcome back, my brother. He got this time. I've been waiting for you. And by the way, go over there and get Jane. I kissed her. He was married to Jane Fonda. I couldn't wait to get over to get her a kiss, so I went and kissed her. Yeah. And I kissed her, and they first two I met. Then I had Bobby Cox waiting for me, Leo Mazzoni. Yeah. And then I walked in the room, and all my Braves fans were standing there. All my friends was back. Deion Sanders was there. He was a piece of work. So all this pain that I went through for 6 months injected something in my body. And Joe got and I got something in common because he injected. Joe, how many years you got in there? Joe got 26 years in a row not using alcohol and drugs. Now, he went through the same thing and broke that back and that spirit, that demon that got me, got Joe. And it's going to get a lot more in these communities. And that's why I work with law enforcement. That's why I do rehabs. I can get you out of court. If you want to go to rehab, you want to get yourself back together. So I'm working with the courts. The judges will believe in me. And they'll believe in you if you say, I need help. Mental health is a problem now. Back in the day, I didn't tell anybody. You didn't want to say, I got mental health. That means you weren't quite right or you crazy. Mental health is a normal thing. Guess who had mental health problems when I grew up? I didn't know it. I had glasses on. But certain things didn't filter in my mind like everybody else. So I mentally have challenges. So now I got psychiatrists and doctors I go to just to get checkups. I got some buddies I play golf with, and they tell them the same thing. They play the same way. They say the same thing. I said, it's 2024. Y'all need to go down to the lube place and get y'all oil changed so y'all start playing and talking a little bit different, cussing up. So what happened? I got you, Lord. So what happened is now if I pick up a drug, alcohol, or this man right here, we'll start using it. Pastor can probably come over here and do a line, which I know he won't. Come over here and do a line and go on home. I'll have him a drink and go on home. But if I saw him on this porch drinking, I would never come back to this church again. Pastor Johnny Hunt told me that. He said, Otis, you can go out there. No, he said, you can't. But your friend, I pass by and he's drinking a cold beer, I can wait. But if I see that pastor out there, yeah. So he's standing up a little bit taller in the gap for you. And the same thing here. So I can't even do the things I would like to do. Can we go to this club, Mr. Nixon? Can we go here? If I walked in and y'all saw me in the wrong place, y'all be like, but I'm still human. And I know better now as I grow up. But what's happened, guys? It got so bad for me when that thing hit me, and that was the first thing I had. Why did I have to go to rehab? I started that thing with a buddy that gave me some drugs, and I didn't know how to, but it went through my system, and it shocked me, And I continued to do it all night long. And when I woke up, the World Series was going on. And I forgot that there was a World Series. That's what it did to my body. So I was addicted immediately. I wore the glasses. Josh said, don't ever put nothing in you because you got the glasses on. And I did. And I became addicted. So did it go away? Tell me it don't go away. Every time I wake up in the morning, guess what's standing out there in front of my yard? He can't come in my yard because I got the glasses of Jesus on. So watch this. He can't come up in my yard. But he's standing out there. That demon, I call him a lion. It's a demon stands at the front of my yard waiting on me. Man, if I can just get him out here. He's doing push-ups and everything. If he can give me one more line, y'all see me in the newspaper, all over the newspaper. Otis has failed. Otis is locked up. You know what I'm talking about, Joe. Yeah. Joe's got 26 years in. He's been a faithful friend. We go to AA. My sponsor told me, Otis, you're a little knucklehead. Now, don't forget you wear the glasses. You need to go to church and hold the Bible in this hand, and you need to go to AA and put an AA book in this hand. I said, why? He said, then you can't pick up and use anything because you got your hands full. And it made very much sense. So guess what I do today? I go to meetings. I chair meetings. I go to church. I'm a ordained minister. So that's what happens over about 15 years. So I'm using, I told God, ain't nobody around me. And watch this. I saw an animal show, and a wildebeest is fighting a lion. And all the wildebeests was one lion. And all the wildebeest ran up the hill and turned around and watched them fight. Why didn't they come in? Where are the friends when you're in fighting and you're down? Where are the friends? I've been there. That's what happened to me. So when I look back over time and I have to stay faithful, I lied to God. I said this on Joel Osteen's show. I said, I lied to God. I told him one time I was going to never do that. I won't do this again. I've been married a few times and messed it up because of some technical difficulties, and I didn't do right. It wasn't them. I was married to two wonderful singers. Just tear it down. They sung with one song with Whitney Houston. The other one was a great gospel singer, and I messed that up, and I asked for forgiveness. But I will say this, and I'm going to talk about forgiveness. I got 10 nuggets that I'm going to leave you kids with and some of you people in church that I'm going to tell you at the end of the program. So all this been going on, I played for 9 different teams. So the most impressive team is Atlanta Braves. I'm Atlanta Braves all my life. I can go anywhere. I play with Texas, Boston, L.A., Minnesota, Montreal, Toronto. That's a long time to play. Don't forget, I only wanted to play one day and get a contract. God took care of me from that time. So when I told him, I wanted him to do something for me. I said, if you get me out of trouble and wipe all this away and make people don't see that blemish of me, it's going to cost you, Otis. So I said, yeah, I'm not lying this time. If you help me out this time, he said, it's going to cost you, Otis. So what he asked me to do from 15 years ago is to use this platform like I use it for the Braves and speak to the people and tell you about where I messed up and what he's done for me in my life and what he can do for you in your life, okay? He's got me out some binds that you don't know about, because when I was there 9 days, when I started using that stuff, I didn't know it had took over me. It's a demon. You guys know how powerful demons are. Once they get in you, or you let them in your door, your house is going to be messed up, your kids are going to be, don't let them in. So once it got in there, day one, I didn't eat. Day two, I didn't eat. Drunk some water. I don't think I was doing sniffing cocaine. Day three, day four, day five, drinking alcohol. Day six, day seven, day eight, 9 straight days without eating. I didn't look like this. I became very thin. You didn't want to see me. I was looking. I didn't know I was like that, but I lost my composure. I lost my way in life. It happens to everybody. Don't look at me and point your finger and say, oh, well, don't wag your finger at me. But look at me different, because when you point that one finger at me, you got 4 pointing back at you. So be careful and say, listen, how can I help a brother? I would never look down on another man unless I can help him. So what I have to do is tell an alcoholic, I walk up door. I call him. He drank. He tore up, man. He's over here. I said, you ever had Atlanta Braves? He said, yeah, I love Atlanta Braves. What you know about Atlanta Braves? I said, I'm Otis Nixon. That is Otis Nixon. Man, can you get... I broke that spirit to talk to him, to tell him about what Jesus can do. He can take that pain away. So I challenged. I said, if I get you something, get your autograph. Anibal. The guy said, I need a jersey too. I said, I'll give you a jersey too if that's what it's going to take. So, and I did. But guess what it did? That old boy's clean and sober. And he's going around telling people what Jesus did. Yes, it didn't take me but a little handout to do that. So I do that. I come down here right now, parents. You call this church. And your kids are acting up. I come see them. I won't knock them down. I sit them and have a conversation. The generation's changed a little bit. Kids don't listen to us like they used to. They don't want to take the trash out. They don't want to do nothing but get on the phone, do video games, and do other things in life. It's just a generational change. So as we go along, guys, that nine-day period taught me something in life. I could have died. I've been locked up quite a bit, and every time I got locked up, I was in the newspaper. Atlanta Braves, Otis Nixon, the greatest catch, all that. And then you got to see me on the news. It didn't feel good, and our teammates didn't feel good, but it taught me a lesson. I don't have to go through this. God said, I'm going to remove all this from you, but you're going to have to work for me for the rest of your life. I said, how much I'm going to get paid? He said, nothing. Guess what? He said, I paid the price.
Amen.
I paid the price for you, brother, so you can't ask me what you're going to get paid. All your provision is going to be in with you. Every church you go to, you just ask for an offering. Just let them give you what you want. That's what you do for me and do for them. And then we'll be, you get paid very well. So that's what I do, going across the church. I'm booked now through. Jim caught me at the right time because of my schedules. I said, Jim, I need to know a date. I'm scheduled to go to another church and another church and another church because they need to hear it. Not from the pastor preaching from the word, but my word is a combination of call of testimony. And a testimony of Joe being blind and mine getting hit. So what I do now, guys, I got other things in here I can go. But I'm not going to keep you that much longer. I just wanted to hear you a little bit about me. I wasn't always in that position where I was doing the right thing. I wasn't always in the right position and saying the right thing. I was cussing and fussing more than anything else, but I could still pay. Don't forget, God still blessed me, and I wore the glasses. I can't take them off. I can't take them off. And so when I got them on, I asked God, is these glasses going to be able to see to heaven? He said, son, you're going to see the kingdom. Good God Almighty. He said, you'll be able to see the kingdom. So now I'm seeing more. I'm doing more. And all this, and I'm glad you video. And I'd like to get this video and put it on there. You guys are getting blessed and highly favored today just by me doing this. So I'm going to go up here. And next time, if you want to make notes, you can get them from me later. And I'm going to go through 10 things that I call nuggets. In AA, we call them toolbox. We got a toolbox. We get in when things happen in life. You got to reach in there and do something different. Or you got to go down the road. You go down a different road. We got all different ways. I have to do my life. I can't hang around the same people. So I have tools that I have to deal with on life terms now that I couldn't do because I know now. Because I know now when I jumped up, I didn't know when I came down. Today, I jumped on the back of that demon and broke his back, so he can't touch me no more. God healed me. So when I came down, that's what happened to me. Let's go back over these 10 nuggets. And Pastor, I'm going to let you finish up after I get through. I'm almost done. We're going to go back through this. So let's go down to number one. When I make a mistake, and you might want to take this, parents, everybody in here, get rid of it right away. It says do not go to sleep at night. Angry. Husband, wife, I've been there a few times. You look, roll all the way over to this side, sit on this side. Do not go to bed. It's very easy to reach over and say, honey, I'm sorry. You've done your part. It's easy, but sometimes hard, called pride. Get rid of it as soon as you can. Brother Jim, you got me? He's always smiling, so I don't know. And where's your wife? Okay. Does she always, you always smiling. He's always happy, but there's a time when you come across and you get angry, a man, and you're not in the church. You're just out here and dating. People can get on your last nerves. Forgiveness is happening right away. And if somebody do something to you again, forgive them again. It feels so good. Don't it, Joe? And you can make somebody so mad. Man, I've made some people mad before, especially catchers trying to throw me out. And they can't get me. So all this, and I asked for forgiveness from Van Schleich that hit the ball. He wouldn't even talk to me. It's been 30 years ago. He wouldn't even talk to me. I saw him at the airport. He turned his head and walked right on past me. And that's a true story. So forgiveness, that's number one. Number two, I talked about this before. You won't be in the same place all the time. So treat people, you know, like I treat the alcoholic. That might be the guy to help you get some gas or help you get out of a ditch one day. You never know. I might be the next mayor, and you never know. When you come across people, politicians or anybody, teachers, whoever, baseball player, don't hold your head up because you got a pocket, because times can change. And I love the brother, and I don't want to get political in here. I like Donald Trump. But Donald Trump didn't see all what was coming toward him when he walked in the office. And those troubles started to hit. That's when your intestinal fortitude started to be tested. So that's another story for another day. Don't speak offensive. Watch this. To somebody. Don't speak offensive without being able to listen back to a person. It said, always leave your opponent with his dignity. So if we're talking and I get defensive, wait a minute, man, I can't hear. Listen and then respond back. You might understand why he's mad at you or what you said. And then it breaks the ice. That's a very important one. Okay? So when I'm done with him, watch this. I don't want to beat him down. Man, you ain't no good. You were Atlanta Braves. You got the last place team or whatever. You got shoes that don't even match, and you ain't just talk. I hate you, and you ain't got your mama and this. I'm pounding on him. There ain't no Jesus up in there. There ain't no kindness up in there. We find a very good ground where we can shake hands. We ain't mad no more. Brother, I understand you a little bit better now. Okay? That's number three. Okay? So we'll go over to this next one. That's the one I spoke about. Number four is when you're down. And now nobody's around. I've been there. When I fell, it wasn't nobody around. Best people didn't talk about me. The newspaper pounded on me. I looked around the room. It was me, myself, and I, and God. And my mom always, I lost her this year, last year. And she was always saying, son, you can make it if you try. She sung a song, you can make it if you try. She always sung that to me when I go into a slump, and it would just give me a little bit encouragement. And when I brought my mom to the first World Series, I said, Mom, you can't be yelling out here like you did in North Carolina. Now, you'll come out here. Because she would get out there, son, I'm going to cook you some chicken. If you steal this, she did. She didn't know any better. She knew I loved chicken. Guess what my mama did? Guess who the loudest one was behind home plate? Miss Gracie. Boy, she had all these fans rocking Otis and Chicken. Otis and Chicken, and Ted Turner was turning around, go, Miss Gracie. So they had a big cheering for him. That wasn't their first time cheering for me. That's her first World Series that she got to see me play in 1992. Let me tell you about 1992. I came back. And now you got to go on the field after you made that mistake and not play in the World Series. I had forgiveness. I had everybody forgive me, hopefully. I didn't know that. I said, man, these people are going to boo me from one side of Atlanta to the other one. I said, Bobby, I don't feel good about the day, man. That was 1992, opening day. They called me, oh, Bobby Cox, the manager. And then I came up. Then they said, and now, leading off for the Atlanta Braves, I said, man, y'all hold your ears, guys, because they finna let me go. And don't you know they stood up and gave me a standing ovation for where I've been and where I'm getting ready to do. And I went on and give me a high five. We went to another World Series.
Yeah, there you go.
And another one. So all this brave country, I got some history in here. And it was tainted, but God said, let me do it a bit better. Come, I'm going to put a little bit of Jesus in here. You can pray for Bobby. You can pray for Leo and all them guys and show what I've done to you and why you're back on track. That's what I did with my life, and that's what I do today. But I wear Braves jerseys everywhere I go. Any reason y'all got red jerseys on up here this morning? Is that what the pastor and the congregation said y'all worked out that way? All right. Okay, let's go ahead. I'm going to finish up, and I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor. Now, y'all know more about me than people get to know because I come here and spoke with you, but I'm all over the country. I'm in schools. We do camps, and I go to court, and I work with law enforcement. So I got to come down here and get with the police chief and the sheriff. I work with these guys now. If somebody get in trouble, I can kind of help. Just don't kill nobody, okay? And then we had a guy named Moses that did. God forgave him. Don't forget, I said the first thing over here, forgiveness. God forgave him. We had a guy, who's that guy that built that boat? Noah? He got drunk. I think he said, man, that'd be a word. Hey, Brother Otis, you got a uniform for me? And God said, I'm going to forgive you. We got a guy named Paul. We got new Pauls now. Paul, he crucified every Christian. Man, he hated. God forgave him. Used him mindfully. Oh, Zacharias, he was cheating everybody. He stole his mama money from him. That guy, little short guy. All right, so he had to get up in a tree to meet the man named God. And he was saved, and he forgave him. Forgiveness is the most important thing you can do. Forgiveness is... Let's go to the next one. Ooh, man, that's a good one. Let me make sure I say this right. I felt like I knew who I was because I had the glasses on. And I knew who I might become. I knew I was going to make a baseball. But you know I had a lot of repentance I had to do in between here, Pastor. I made some stuff, some mess, Mommy, out of some things, and I had to be repentant. Forgiveness and repentance are similar. They're cousins, but they're after two different. You repent, that don't mean you want to go back and do it again. I had to do a lot of repentance to get where I'm at today, to be able to stand up here faithfully and talk to you guys. Repentance, so you can write that one down. Repentant about everything. That's when you get an upper rim and you're talking to God about, I don't want to do this no more. Yes. I want to let it go. Yeah, you can talk to your pastor about that. All right. We'll start out sick. Stay. Okay, let me go over one more page here. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to close with this. This is more for the kids and some for the parents. I'm going to turn it back over. You can take it where you need to be and ask for invitation. If somebody has messed up last night and accidentally did a little joint and say, you know what, it might be a good time for me to ask for forgiveness or repentance, and you come up with this brother afterwards, it works, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to be able to be unblind, it works. If you want that relationship, what's your name, brother? Alex. When he made this invitation, because you got to get on your knees and do this, but I'd be first one up here with that beautiful lady and say, Lord, let me keep her. Don't let me mess up. I've been there before. Let me do the right things. If y'all see him out in the community around another girl, y'all call me. I'm going to come down and get him arrested. Yeah. You got that. Okay. So, let's go here. When you're in your car, kids, some parents, and you're driving at it, have a minimum of alcohol in your system and get in your car and go home. If not, the police are going to get you. These are my rules I tell athletes, and I preach to athletes like I'm in the church. Number one, and when you cut it off, don't drink and drive, or if you got that limit, and go home. Number one. Number two, don't have any drugs in your car. They like to come in and say, do you have anything illegal in your car? Don't have it in there. You won't have to answer number two. Okay? Don't put it in. Try not even have it in your system. Because the first thing I said, don't be drinking too much. First thing they say, have you been drinking tonight? You know, say, I ain't been drinking. So you got to be coherent, athletes. I'm going somewhere with this. Okay? Number three. Don't have a girl in your car that you don't even know where she live or know her name. We got a name we call them in the community out there. They work at different places. You know her. She's in your car. you got somebody in your car and you get pulled over, and the third thing they say, who is that over there? And if you can't tell them, then they start to search her. They want to know where she work at. Is she a drug dealer? Is she a stripper? Or whatever she might be. And now you got more yeast on top of what you did. Watch this, okay? Don't drive speed limits, 55, 60, 65. Do not drive 20 miles over the speed limit. We got University of Georgia guys. I had to speak to them. Got killed last year, killed a whole bunch of them. They was going 50 miles over. They were going 100 plus miles an hour, lost control. Cut it down. They will give you a break. If you stay under 15 miles, you won't get a ticket. If you do what I just said on here, you'll be highly favored. You'll go home. You'll keep your career. And you tell the other guys on the team, if I don't get to your team, because I speak differently to the team. This is what I want out the athlete. Every time I go to a school, it's because somebody's had a wreck already. I got to tell them. Tony Dungy, one of the greatest coaches of all time, uses the same philosophy. They don't have this in the Bible, but I got a testimony that I bring with me that I speak to the kids. Man, I got three young boys. Any of them boys play baseball back there, sir? All of them. How about that? Let me tell you something about those three kids. Up here. Y'all stand up for a minute. I would have every kid in this community. Now, when I come back down here and I do a camp, the camp is going to be full. They might not come to church, but we'll do a little church and come. I have you to pray on them, and it'll be the same thing. They just don't know it. Guys, I commend you guys coming out today. But guess what? If either one of you guys make it to the World Series, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? You remember this day, okay? If you go to the World Series, you come back and you write a big check to this church. I did it. You take care of your mom and dad. You do the right things. You remember my rules and regulations I said on here? And if I ask you for a ticket to go to the World Series, you better give me one, okay? Y'all can sit down. This will happen. This will happen in every community I go. You will get an athlete that's going to come. It's going to be a football player. It's just the way the universe works, and they're going to put the glasses on. But most kids will go give another community money when you preach to them and talk to them. So if I do a camp, yeah, if you don't have kids, get them out to a camp close by here, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to do that. Law enforcement will be out here. The mayor will be back. That's the part of my ministry. And make sure you three guys are there. There will be an athlete in this community that will come out and retire his mom and dad like I did. Tim Tebow did it. Deion Sanders, John Smoke. It's just the way, Chipper Jones. It's just the way the universe works. You have to tell them some things and give them some nothing. You keep preaching this till they fall down, till they hand that church to 10% of them. 100 million is a lot of money. You can build another church and do more things. Guys, I'm going to do a signing afterwards. I think I'm going to do sign some stuff and get something going on. But this is where I cut off. So what you've got to hear is a man of God that used to be a baseball player named Otis Nixon. And now you know, God's got, when I released myself and I told God I was going to work for him, I'm a fisherman. And I know when I get a hook in an old catfish mouth, when I hook it back in there, he can't get it out. God's got his hook in me, and I can't get it out. He's got his glasses on me, and I can't get it out. I got to go over the country and all over the world and tell my story and preach to people that he will be back, and you want to be the one that's going to be in that realm. Pastor, I'm going to bring you up. Guys, thank y'all for having me today. I love you guys, and go Braves.
Thank you so much, Brother Otis. We're going to give a invitation song at this time, and maybe the Lord spoke to your heart, maybe he put his finger on something, but you take advantage of this opportunity if you need to come pray, or maybe pray for someone else in your life that doesn't know the Lord or going through a hard time. And we're going to pick a song out, and then just after the invitation we're going to take up a love offering. So just ask the Lord what you can give this morning to help support this man in the ministry that he does. Come on the first verse if you need to come. Come and do business with the Lord this morning.
Have I no way
Maybe there's others this morning. It's not often we have a Braves player here praying and speaking. Come join us in the altar this morning. Let's do some praying together. Anybody else? God can turn your mess into a message.
Search me and try me, Master.
Don't leave just yet. Stay to the end, please. This is the most important part.
Not over. If it's somebody just want to say, you know what, I was speaking unkindly to somebody, just hold your hand up. You don't even have to nod. Just hold your hand. Thank you. You don't have to go to the front. Thank you. You know, we got that way of saying forgiveness. Thank you, sweetheart. And thank you. Just say, hey, I got somebody I want to pray for. It might not be, they couldn't make it to church today. They in a bad situation. They locked up. Now I have to go to the jails and do the same thing. And that's why we want to pray for them. You understand? You got it. We'll pray for them. It might be a drug problem. It might be lost a job. They need prayer. Let me tell you something. COVID turned this thing around.
Yeah.
We all need a prayer. We should have had everybody hand up, but we made it through by the mercy and grace of
Amen.
God. Because I lost my mom to COVID and a bunch of them that's not here today. But we're praying for health. Finances, problems. I got an old guy out there that solved the problem. The guy that moved those shoes, he solved all my problems, and he can do the same thing for you.
All right. Okay.
Thank y'all. Thank you.
I tell you what, let's do. Ushers, if you come on down, we're going to receive a love offering for Brother Otis. And, let's give a round of applause if you enjoyed that this morning. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right. We're about for a quick word of prayer, and then we'll receive the love offering. Please give to this ministry. Please do so. If you enjoyed it, please do that. If you didn't enjoy it, please give. And all right. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for
yes,
Brother Otis and his testimony, Lord, that he brought today. The power of God that's been working in his life. And we just thank you, Lord, for the familiar scenes we have in our minds growing up. Me as a little boy and watching that awesome catch and watching him play as a Brave. What a blessing that is to see him here at our church sharing Jesus with others. I pray, Lord, that we would give unto to Brother Otis as you would have us give, Lord, to support this ministry of touching more lives like his life's been touched. We love you today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yeah. Anything. appreciate you coming this morning. I do want to say that Brother Otis will be in a classroom to your left just as you walk out the door here. And he'll be giving some autographs. I will say that the kids get a free autograph. And so if you're, we're talking about young kids, not no adult kids. And for adult kids, it's $10, okay, to help. Of course, all that goes back into his ministry. And so, yeah, if you would like an autograph, if you're a kid, young person, please come as we dismiss. Brother Otis, if you want to go ahead and make your way. All right.
No choir practice this evening.
Okay, no choir practice. Remember, we are having service at 5 o'clock, and so we'll be meeting again at 5. And just remember all the events we mentioned earlier. I've got a busy month, and then, of course, rolling into March with Jubilee and then Easter. And so we've got a lot of things going on. All right. Well, that's all we have. We'll go ahead and be dismissed. We already prayed. Everybody have a blessed afternoon. Thank you for coming.